Anyway, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you believe summer's like we're done? Like we're almost done with
Just
summer. It's
like it
just
needs to happen.
bam. It's here, it's gone, and then fall's coming and all the football fans are rejoicing and all the baseball fans are sad. So I didn't watch any games, so it didn't really matter. I didn't have any time, so whatever. I just kind of watch highlights and then, you know, Adrian's been jabbing me because Boston's been doing better than Baltimore. So anyway, I'm sure they're cheating. It doesn't matter. Sorry. Just kidding. Oh, hallelujah. Well, tonight we're going to talk about what kind of ground are you? And to go a little bit deeper tonight, you know, everything that we do process, we process through our past. You realize that, right? Often our experiences, how people have treated us, you know, or you know, you tell a joke and nobody laughs, so you're thinking, okay, I won't tell that again, right? Kind of like every time I'm up here. But you have, right? But I'm saying people, you the way you respond and the way you respond to people is all based on your past, right? How they have, you know, I just remember Adrian's cousin was, you know, thought that she would, like, what was it, in grade school or something, she thought she'd wear her own makeup and do her own makeup. And then,
Oh,
you know, then it was like,
she went
her dad just said, well, just let her go that way. It won't happen again. And then she went to school and everybody laughed and she didn't do that again, right? So again, the thing that we do, we base that off of, again, our past experience, right? You know, you stick your hand on the stove, probably not gonna do that again. And so, you know, we process things through our past experiences. And I just remember, and a lot of it is too, it's based on your knowledge and what you do have and the information you have available, right? We're watching a video of you know, the girls when they were younger saying the ABCs. It was QPZAMQ. Well, they had the letters, but they couldn't put things together, right? And that's what they had available at that time. They knew some of the letters. They watched Elmo and you know, whoever, Sesame Street peoples, you know, on Sesame Street talking through the ABCs. But that's what they had to deal with at that time, right? That's what they knew the ABCs was because they just had these random things. They didn't know the order of the ABCs at that time. So again, we're doing things and processing things through our experiences, our knowledge, the way we do have available to us. And so that also kind of talks, and we're going to get some scriptures tonight, that also kind of talks about people who mock or downplay things in the Bible, right? Why? Because they have either no experience or limited knowledge in an area, and then what do you do normally is you downplay it. And then again, everything that we experience in life or that we process is through our catalog of knowledge, right? So we're always referring back to our past, way people have responded to us. You know, how did my parents treat me? How do those other people treat me? You know, going into relationships, how, you know, you're basing it off of older relationships that you've had in the past. And also too, well, it's just like, for example, I'm not really knowledgeable about plants. I know enough to be dangerous, right? I just know they need to be in the ground. You need to put water on them. I know that the big things, the big round, those are trees. So again, I know some things about plants, but I couldn't tell you the difference between all the plants. You know, it's just, yeah, there's a hydrangea bush. Those are roses. That's a fern. That's a tree. Yeah, that's a maple, some general things. But why? Other people have a bigger, better vocabulary than I do, right? So again, my knowledge on certain areas in life are more limited than other people. And so we look at Luke chapter 8, verse 1. Luke 8, 1 tonight. I'm going to read out a New Living Translation. We'll start in verse 1. Now, this is the, and reason I brought this one up, because we're seeing this is the account in Luke, but also this is the account in, it's also in Mark chapter 4, is Mark also goes through this account. But the reason I want to bring this out, because there's a statement at the end of this that is so remarkable that I don't see it in Mark's, you know, account. But Verse 1, it says, soon after Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God is good news, right? It is good news. And so he took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. And among them were Mary Magdalene, whom had been cast out 7 demons, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, which was Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. Okay, so that's a whole nother topic. But we see Jesus is traveling around, and he's got this caravan with him and all these people. He's got his disciples. He's got people who are financially supporting him. Then we go to verse 4. One day, Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. I want to just pause for a moment here. You know, one of the things that Jesus really did well was he told stories. And he brought things back to people in a very simple manner. And you look at, you know, the Apostle Paul there in 1 Corinthians, the first and second chapter, talks about the Greeks and the Romans. I'm talking about the Greeks, how they have knowledge. And, you know, you realize how in the kingdom, God wants people to have character, right? And he wants them to have depth. And in the world, you can be a complete lunatic, have your life is a complete mess, but as long as you sound good, it's okay. And that's what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians. You know, yeah, very, where is, you know, because you imagine where Paul is, he's writing this letter to the Corinthians, and he's actually saying to these people, in the midst of them proving their knowledge and intellect, he's going, where is the wise man? Where is the intellect? Like, none of you here are any of these people. You have no intellect, right? Because why? They weren't doers of the word, and they didn't have the gospel in them. And so we see Jesus here, he's given a parable, he's breaking things down, very simple for people to understand things. And so I love his stories all the time. You know, Jesus and Solomon and all this wisdom and all these people in the Bible that have such wisdom and revelation on things is because they're bringing things down so we can understand them. And so Jesus uses this parable, and obviously he uses a lot of, you know, organic examples because that's what people knew back then. So we see here that a farmer went out to plant his seed, and as he scattered it across his field, some fell on the footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks, and it began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Okay. Now, what is associated with moisture? Water, right? And who is associated with moisture and water refreshing? The Holy Spirit. Interesting, huh? And then he goes on here and he says, other seed fell among the thorns and that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. And I know we've read this before, but still other seed fell on fertile soil, and this seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. And when he had said this, he called out, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Now, this is where we want to get to, but this is very, the last part is interesting because he's not talking about the floppy things on the side of our head, right? If you have ears to hear. No, what he's saying is if you have the heart to receive, if you have ears to hear, hear and listen. He said, to hear should listen and what? Understand. That means grab a hold of this. Take a hold of this. And then his disciples next, he says, his disciples asked him what this parable meant. And he replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use parables to teach others so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And what's he say? When they look, they won't really see. When they hear, they won't really understand. Then he goes on and he explains it. Now, I know that we've listened to this before, and we've read through this scripture before, but there's something here at the end of it in verse 18 we want to talk about. But he's talking about this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. Now, you know, it's interesting how at the end of our lives, we're going to look back and we'll be judged on, did you do? Right? Did we perform? Did we, you know, Because really, what are the last words that Jesus is going to say? Those who've been faithful, enter, joy the Lord, a good and faithful servant, right? And really, what is that? That's the beginning of being good seed. Because Romans 10, 9, and 10, obviously, you know, without the word, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the what? The word of God. So we can't do anything without the word. And it all begins with being good ground, right? What is good ground? Well, it's when we hear the word, we receive it, and says, that applies to me, I need to take it to heart. If you're not good ground, then, you know, it's discarded. It doesn't produce anything. You're like, well, I've read the Bible, it doesn't work. No, you just didn't work, and you didn't receive it, and you weren't good ground. And so verse 11 says, this is the meaning of the parable, the seed is God's word. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message only to have the devil come and to take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. You know, this is also something true where just, we were talking about this the other day. I remember being at Rhema and listening to Kenneth Hagin, and he'd say the same scripture over again. You know, I remember in Spiritology, he'd thought, open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 23rd verse. And he'd, you know, read it, and you're thinking, man, is it? But what is the word? Every time it comes to us, we need to value it. We need to value it when it's coming. Well, I've heard that before. Well, you know, Brother Hagin always used to say, I've been redeemed from repetition, right? That means that as we want repetition in our life, we listen to the same thing. I get excited about hearing about salvation because I don't think anybody is, but I don't really have any idea how salvation actually works. You know, all I know is what the Bible tells me. Something changes on the inside. I don't see how the mechanics of that work. I can't see spiritually how those, but I know what I sense on the inside. I believe the word, and I know something has changed in me since then, right? So again, there's things in the word that we take and we believe it. We may not be able to see everything or understand everything, but we take it and we receive it and we go, man, that's awesome. And I love reading about even, you know, we'll go over to John chapter 3, but John chapter 3, you know, Jesus talks about the born again scripture that we've, you know, most of us have had memorized, you know, John 3:16, God loved the world that he gave his own begotten son, whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But you study the Nicodemus and Jesus' conversation leading up to this is so powerful, you know? And so we look at things, and that's what I've been praying more in my personal life is just, and for the church and people, is that the eyes of our understanding can be enlightened, right? Because it doesn't mean that necessarily sometimes we need all, you know, oh, I got to have, but it's, we need light on the word, right? What do I do with it? How does it apply to me? Because I look at things now and I study the word and I'm thinking, wow, that's incredible. When I look at the Old Testament, even the book of Ruth, I think this is a very pivotal book that we don't place any value on. Because, you know, when you look at Ruth and her sister-in-law, and you look at Naomi, and her sister-in-law went off, because again, guys, I think we just glaze over stuff in the Bible, and I've done it for years, but you realize that Naomi, when she left, went back to Israel, and to her home people, and we see Ruth that says, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. And do you realize, you look at the lineage here, and do you realize that her sister-in-law, and it says that she went back to her, no, basically her sister-in-law went back to the gods, went back to the land that was familiar, and that's a typology of she went back to what's comfortable. And we see that Ruth and Naomi went forward, and Ruth said, I'm going to be, you know, your God's going to be my God, you're going to... And do you realize that split right there, that her mother, that her sister-in-law, when she left, she was the mother of the Philistines, which birthed Goliath. And do you realize when Ruth left and made a decision to go with Naomi, she was going to be the mother, the great-great-great-grandmother of King David, who would slay the giant that came from her sister-in-law. See, we glaze over these things, but there's so much depth in the word that we just skim over. We don't realize there's two lineages here that separate at that point. And because Ruth decided, I'm not going to go back to my old gods. I'm not going to go back down the road. I'm going to go with Naomi and I'm going to serve God. Her people are going to be my people. She chose to what? Follow. It didn't make sense. She didn't know anybody. She's like, I'm just going to stay with you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to have your God. And guess what? God had his lineage come, you know, God was working through Ruth, which eventually birthed, you know, Jesse, which eventually birthed King David, and then Solomon. So it's all of these things, we see that people take the word of God in their heart and an entire history completely changes. And we can have the power to change history too. I really believe that. I believe that our decisions, and we take this word, it's so we just skim over things. We don't think we just think it's insignificant. It's not that important, but our choices can impact and echo eternity. I really believe that. Not only this life, but also the life to come. So just simply someone like Ruth saying, I am going to go with God. I don't know. I'm just going to serve this God. I'm going to follow her. She's going to be my people. And now she's resounding in eternity for her choices. And so we look at this and we think, when we begin to dive into the Word of God and we see these things, we think, wow, this is amazing. But we kind of Cadillac through the Bible, and I've done it before, and there's nothing wrong with just reading the Bible, but then when we pray that revelation would come, we're going to see these things. And that's what we really need. Amen? We need revelation on things, not just, I understand stories, but we see God come into life through the Bible, and he's revealing things to us. As we pray Ephesians prayers, the first chapter and the third chapter, I believe things will come alive to us. So we'll go on here. And so we're seeing again, verse 14, and the seed that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out, here we go, by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. What does that mean? Let's just say this, that life and things are more important than him. That's all it is. Because if we love God, we're going to make time for him. Right? Well, I just don't have time. No, he's the most important thing. His word is the most important thing. And I know life gets, we get busy and things like that. But the cares of life, what is the cares of life? We're so bogged down with our problems. We're looking at the Goliath instead of God. You know, we're looking at the problem. We're consumed with things. Why? Because the word, we haven't given place to the seed, the word of God in our life to transform it. But we're consumed with the problems and we can't see the solution. And then he goes on here and he says, and the seeds fell among the thorns who represent message you hear all too quickly, verse 14. And the message is crowded out with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. So there's distractions. And so they never grow into maturity. And the seeds that fell on the good ground represent honest, good-hearted people. Here we go. Who hear God's word. I like that. Good-hearted people. What's that mean? It doesn't mean that you're necessarily perfect. What it means is you want to do the right thing and you're running after God, right? Good-hearted people. That means we want to have God's best interest at heart. Because, you know, when we do have God's best interest at heart, he has our best interest at heart. People hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. I like that, patiently. You look at anybody in the Bible, it's because they had patience. I know it's a kind of a scary word, and people, well, I just want to pray for patience. Get ready for a bumpy ride, because you're going to get patience if you pray for it. Verse 16, no one lights a lamp and then covers it with a bowl or hides it under a bed. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house, for all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all. Here we go, verse 18. I want to kind of focus on this for a moment. It says, so pay attention to, here we go, how you hear. Did you know that there is not just a, when we hear the word, it's not hearing, but it's how you hear it. And Jesus puts an emphasis here. He says, you need to watch and you need to focus on how you hear the word. And he goes on, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, right? If we're listening to the Lord, that means he's going to give us more. Then he goes on, but for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. How many people, and this is something we got to guard against here, how many people in life have been, you know, I look at people, and I know we all know people, but you just think back and you're going, man, they were on fire for God. Or, man, I know that person, and they were just such a pillar. And, you know, I remember church we went to, and I was working second shift at Vermeer, and one of the ushers there was, you know, obviously older, and his son was my age. We were the exact same age. And his family went there. But as we were there, it was kind of interesting because he, you know, was such a kind of really good example. And to me, I kind of looked to him as, you know, just really, really mild-mannered, and just wow, it was like he just seems like he had it all together. And then all of a sudden, everything just fell apart in his life. Why? Because he wasn't holding fast. He didn't pay attention how he heard everything. Just because everything's going great today doesn't mean it's going to go great tomorrow. I'm not mocking fear or anything, but I'm just saying when we are complacent in our walk with God, that's when things can get really weird. We take God for granted when we're, you know, I mean, I've just been more time with the Lord thinking, you know what, Lord, thank you for what I have. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for, again, all these things. And one of the things that in the Old Testament you'll see is God always had them build altars. Like, it's just kind of foreign to our thinking. But what is it? Often he'd say, because when people walk by, it's a testimony to them when they look at that altar, right? What was the first thing that Noah did when him and his sons and his family got off the ark? What did he do? He sacrificed and he made an altar. Why? Because that was a testimony to everybody that came through. And we see over and over again, why? Because it's reminders. And that's what the Bible talks about, you know, forget not all my benefits. So verse 18 again. So pay attention to what? How you hear. I just remember, you know, sometimes talking to people, and that's where the Bible talks about there in Proverbs. It says, you know, rebuke a wise man, he'll love you for it, or rebuke a fool and he'll hate you for it. What that means is you can have the same correction to someone. One person can love you and one person can hate you. Why? It's because of how they hear. And again, we often filter God's word through our understanding. That's how you have people that maybe, you know, they'll laugh about tongues or they'll mock things because it's really not about the tongues, it's not about anything else. It's about a desire to get to know him better. Whatever avenue that is, right? That's what it really comes down to. What? How do we want to connect with the Lord? What does he have for us? And to me, I want everything God has for me. Through his word, through his Holy Spirit, the more time I spend with him, the more time I want to be with him. Do you know it is addictive? There are things about God that you can become addicted to, right? I remember the other day I was reading the word, and I spent quite a bit of time reading the word, and I set it down, I was putting on TV, and when I watched the TV, I'm like, it just was like, didn't do it, you know, because I'd spent time with him, and then when I turned, you know, I'm looking on there, checking things, and the TV, it was just, we can get to the point where, you know, the word of God and his presence is so, we just want to be with him. But again, it's how we hear. How we hear. Remember, I don't know if you remember King Saul back in the Old Testament. The Lord told him to kill off everything and do everything. And then, you know, the prophet came back to him. And he says, what's out of here? The sheep bleeding in the background. What's that all about? And what do you say? Well, the people. See, he knew what God told him to do, right? To kill everything, just get rid of it all. And then that mess, later on we read in the Bible, came back and they kept fighting with Israel again, right? God wanted them to take care of it. John chapter 3, verse 1. John chapter 3, verse 1. This is good old Nicodemus, right? I like Nicodemus because he's curious. He's asking Jesus questions. He's really hungry. I think The Chosen really does a pretty good job of, some people, they get uptight about The Chosen or whatever, but that series, but whatever. I mean, there's things that, they're not going to be perfect. I mean, you can do the best you can. But I think they do a really good job about kind of portraying Nicodemus as somebody that is, obviously he's, very highly intelligent. People really look to, he definitely has a prominent place, but he's hungry. He's meeting with Jesus in secret here, and he wants to find out about his ministry, wanting to find out more things about him. He says, there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish leader, religious leader, who was a Pharisee, and after dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. So we're seeing he's humble, and he knows that there's something about this Jesus is so different, and he's doing just wonderful things, and I just really want to know about, and I get to know him. And he says, your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. So you realize that, in the book of Acts, when the church was poured out, it said many, many, many priests and religious people obeyed the faith. You know, when Jesus did, he rose from the dead, a lot of them turned to Christianity. They obeyed because they saw the things. So we're seeing here, and Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And here we go, right here. This is all of us. We've been here. I've been here so many times. Verse 4, what do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Why? Nicodemus is taking the word and trying to filter it through his knowledge, isn't he? He needs a Holy Spirit to be able to open things up to him. He needs a new way of hearing things. He needs the Holy Spirit to be able to reveal things to him. And Jesus here goes on and he says, verse 5, Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Here we go, right? What's he really saying? Also, you'll see in Ephesians, the third chapter, where Apostle Paul talks about water, but Jesus explained, because a lot of people here say you got to be, they say born of water, you need to be water baptized, and then you have to do this. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, when Jesus was on the cross with the two thieves, he said, I will see you in paradise. That guy on the cross did not have the opportunity to go out and to get water baptized. Is it important? Does everyone need to be water baptized as a believer? Yes, we need to be water baptized, right? But it does not determine whether you're going to go to heaven or not. People will take this portion of scripture and say, well, see, Jesus said you got to be born of water and the Spirit, and you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. No, the next statement explains it. It says humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to the spiritual life. What do they say when ladies give birth? It says, so you broke your water, right? So what he's talking about here, you're going to have natural birth and then a spiritual birth, right? That's why he says, you only be born of water and the Spirit. It means a natural and the spirit realm. And then he goes on and he says, so don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. See, like I said earlier, I have no idea how people are born again. We don't know, but it's just, I just believe the word. And, him moving forward. There's just things we can't explain. So again, Nicodemus is trying to absorb this through his natural thinking, and it's not working because it's like, how is he hearing it? Well, he's hearing it with his natural mind. Have you ever noticed if you walked with God enough, you just know that whatever you think, it's not going to be right anyway. Right? I mean, it's just whatever you're thinking, it doesn't matter because, the things you think now, if you're walking with God, the word is the word and it's the truth. But moving forward, there is no way Moses had it all figured out. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go and then we're going to all these plagues. Okay, I got it all figured out. Then after the plagues, we're going to go to this Red Sea and God's going to split the sea and it's all going to work out. No, that is not the way that anybody would have thought, right? Moses was you know, I mean, he knew war and all these other things. He thought, hey, we're gonna rise up. We're gonna duke out the, you know, we're gonna go and, you know, take care of these Israelites. And then, you know, God said, hey, called him on Mount Sinai. You're gonna go back. You're gonna do this. But he didn't tell him how it was gonna happen. And that's part of God, is he doesn't want you to have everything figured out, because we need to rely on him. And again, that's how we hear. 1 Corinthians 13:12. I don't know about you, but I don't have everything figured out. And that's why I have to rely on the Lord and the Holy Spirit, because he's got a plan. And I need to walk that out. Best of my ability, right? And sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we get back up and move forward. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality. This is the Amplified Classic. As in a riddle or enigma. But then, when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part, imperfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. What that means is, we just see in part on this side, and that's why we really got to depend on God, right? Because we only see part of it. On the other side, it's going to be, oh, I get it now. Oh, okay, I see. And I believe we're still going to have an eternity of, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. Mark chapter 4, verse 11 says, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. What's that mean? God is going to reveal things to us. He's going to open our eyes on certain things. Romans 11:25, I think this is very fascinating here. The Apostle Paul says, he says, lest you be self-opinionated, wise in your own conceits. I like that, own conceits. I do not want you to miss this hidden truth and mystery, brethren. A hardened insensibility has temporarily befallen a part of Israel. So we can be self-opinionated. We can be insensitive, hard-hearted, and it's going to cause issues for us moving forward. I've done more things in my life when I'm spending time with the Lord, going, Lord, you know more than I do. You know more than I do. I believe I'm receiving revelation from you. First Corinthians chapter 2. This is what we were talking about earlier. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, and it says, when I came to you, talking about, it's Apostle Paul, it says, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. I love this portion because Paul is being very transparent. He says, you know, I just kind of cast everything off. Paul was no dummy. But what he's saying is, I'm just relying on him. I'm relying on his wisdom. I'm relying on the Holy Spirit. I'm relying on him to lead and guide me, to give me the words. Verse 6, yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are so forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world, here we go, this is interesting, but the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. See, now who would have thought that it was God's plan to sacrifice Jesus to redeem us? See, the devil is so consumed with his lust of murder and hate and anger and all of these, you know, we see in Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh. He was so consumed with it, what he couldn't see, that he was actually destroying himself in the process. And that's what happens to us when we don't, you know, don't seek him. But this next part, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. It's not something that we... Now, God is not... Now, obviously, he gave us a brain and an intellect for a reason, and we see that, you know, there's definitely a purpose for that. But it means our direction, that God is not speaking to us through our mind, our emotions, but he's speaking to us through our heart, with the word of God, whether it's spoken or written. And in verse 10, but it was us that God revealed to us these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. I'm telling you tonight, God wants to reveal his secrets to us tonight. But it's if we listen to the word and how we hear the word, right? We're like, those people that, you know, they like to use scripture to bash people, you know, kind of that thing. They like to do that. You know, they'll pull out a scripture or something like that. Now, how do we want to use the word? You know, I was interesting because I kind of, you know, a while back I had had a kind of a run-in with a person, and you know, I was listening to this story, I think I shared it last week, about. And this kind of shows a progression, but he was talking about years ago, he had this girlfriend when he was younger, and she had cheated on him with his best friend. And, you know, he was just angry, and his girlfriend had asked him to forgive her, and he did. But this other guy didn't come and ask any forgiveness or anything. And anyway, long story short, then the Lord dealt with him about, you need to forgive him. It's like, oh. All these terrible, but he didn't come to me and ask for forgiveness. He didn't do this. I was like, you need to forgive him. You need to forgive him. And this had been going on years later. And so he said he forgave him. And then, you know, after a while, you know, those feelings left. Because again, when we forgive people, it's not just for their benefit, but it's for us too. And then later the Lord said, I want you to say you love him. And he's like, whoa, boy, I don't know about that and everything. And he says, no, I want you to say you love him. And so it took him a while. And then he said, it's like, Lord, those are big words, you know, like he's trying to talk himself out of it, you know, from doing this stuff. And finally did. And he goes, and then the feelings came, you know, I really did have compassion for him. And then he said, sometime after the guy left him a voicemail, and he said, hey, you know, I just need to, you know, call you back and tell you, first of all, I know that all happened. I want you to forgive me. I'm sorry. But he said, I am here today as a Christian because of your example of God in my life. And he says, I haven't even talked to this guy in years. But right when he did that, all these things turned around for him. And see, it's how we hear. How we hear the word, right? We can say, well, that really wasn't God telling me this. All, you know, when it's the hard things, right? And I had some kind of run-ins with some people, too. A guy that was just, you know, when you do business stuff, it's just weird stuff happens too. And you're thinking, this is ridiculous. And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing and forgive and move on. It was just this crazy stuff that went on. You know, and I feel great because it's something that it helps me move on. You know, I want to get the stuff out of my life because I don't, who wants to be thinking about that garbage, you know, day in and day out about all this stupid stuff about this happened and that happened, right? And I always think, you know, I don't have any idea what's going on in people's lives where, you know, they'll upset about something and get whatever. And, you know, the Lord is speaking to me about having more mercy on people. And because that's something I'm working on. I mean, we're all a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. But one of the things I'm doing is, Lord, I'm giving other people mercy and grace so that I can have mercy and grace, right? Because what is one of the things in the Bible said? If you don't forgive them, you're not going to be received, right? And so we want to have a soft heart towards people. Then he goes on here, verse 13. We'll close here in just a moment, but it says in verse 12, I'm sorry, and when we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so that you can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. In verse 13, and when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from this God's Spirit. And that's something too where people won't understand out in the world what we're even talking about. They do not understand us. And those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot evaluate for others. And then in verse 16, who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand that we can have the mind of Christ. Amen? We can have those things. And then finally, just hear, you know, how we can hear. Just to kind of encourage you on some things, and I was just looking some of these things up, that, you know, God will speak to us about things and they won't come to pass for certain time periods. And we think that, you know, well, maybe I missed it because the way we hear things, we think if God speaks to us about something that's going to happen immediately, but you realize that by the time Samuel anointed David with oil, from there until he actually became king of Judah the first time, and then became king of Israel, do you realize there was a 20-year span by the time Samuel anointed him with oil on his head until he sat to be the king? There was a 20-year span. Do you realize that Moses was tending sheep for 40 years until God called him back to, you know, deliver Israel, right? Joseph was probably, 13 years old, maybe? Joseph was just a young kid, young guy. And he was almost Jesus' age by the time he became, you know, just under Pharaoh. So it's one of these things where God will say things to us, and doesn't mean we have to wait, you know, years and years and years and years and years. But what it means is this: is the Lord speaks to us about things, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. We value His word, and we take that word and how we hear it and how we receive it. Amen. I just know the longer I go walk with God, the more things, you know, more things are being manifest over the years. It's encouraging to see those things that God's always faithful. It's not maybe on my time, the way I think about it, or the avenue, but God is going to. Because why? Because I want to hear Him. I want to hear His voice. I want His revelation. And one of the things that I would just encourage you this week is, and I'm doing more myself, is praying the Ephesian prayers. Kenneth Hagin did this all the time, and the Lord would open some things up to him. We can read the word, but we need to have the Holy Spirit illuminate things to us, right? Give us wisdom. Give us revelation when we read it. Give us understanding. I don't want to just read words, but I want the Spirit to breathe life into me through these words. Amen? Because this is This is not, I mean, Jesus said we don't live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so every day I'm becoming more and more, how can I say, I don't know the words obsessed, but more focused and more reliant on his word. Amen. And it's all something we're going to develop. We all develop. It just, you know, it takes time, but you know, like what Jesus talks about organically, we grow over time. Father, we just thank you so much for your word and that we're going to be good listeners, Lord God. We're going to receive how we receive your word, Lord Jesus, that we're open and we want to see your spirit move in our lives and our families and our businesses and our jobs, everything that we do, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that our, I just pray tonight as we close, I'm going to pray the Ephesians prayers over us and that there's a revelation in all of us. And Father, I just thank you tonight that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give all of us here tonight the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. And we just pray that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of your calling and what is the riches of your glories and the inheritance of the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of your power to usward who believe according to the power that works in us, Lord. Which you brought Christ in and raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world to come. And we also pray Ephesians 3rd chapter, verse 16, that you would grant us, according to your riches of glory, to be strengthened with might by our inner, by your spirit in our inner man. That Christ, you would dwell in our hearts by faith, that we would be rooted and grounded in love, and that we may be able to comprehend with all the other saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, might be filled with all fullness. And now unto you, Lord, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or think, according to your power that worketh in us, Lord. Father, I thank you that we're going from faith to faith, glory to glory, and we're people of faith, power, Lord Jesus, and reliant on your spirit and your word. We praise you in your name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We'll have a, well, we've still got next week for Labor Day. So Labor Day is next Monday, but we're looking forward to that day off. Amen. Very good.